All right. This podcast will not record itself. And I got to get this done because it's cutting into my Star Wars time. It's cutting into my eating dead animal time. It's cutting into my watching the movie that I'm currently watching time, which I don't even remember the name of the movie. It's not that great so far, but I'll probably have to talk about it because there's a reason I'm continuing to watch it. Anyway, I'm not going to talk about that now. I'm just about to start talking about the thing that I'm not going to talk about because we got to focus. This is my one day off out of 10 days. We are getting swamped with work right now. And of course, it's cold, raining, and shitty outside. We need the water, but still. You can scream and shout with all your might. You could scream, shout, whine, cry, sniffle, piss, moan, look for a motherfucking safe space. This ain't it. You can shove your opinions up your ass and wait Biden's cock as something to keep it company. Don't forget, my friends and my enemies, the ever-present, the most likely, the third possibility. You are wrong, and I am right. You are welcome. Holy fuck, are you welcome. You people out there, you should be so, I should say you men. Because there's only one woman that listens to my podcast. The rest of you are men. You men, and literally Hitler fangirl, should be so grateful that the Great One is here to tell you all the things you're doing wrong. Yes, that's right. I am here to tell you things you're doing wrong. I am here to throw rocks while living in a glass house. Yes, my friends, that is just how fucking amazing. I, the Great One himself, the founder of the Cynical Libertarian Society, on the internet since 1999, podcasting for 18 years, who is right, who has always been right, who will always be right, who has never been wrong. That is the glory, the glory of the Great One. What's up, fuckers? How y'all doing? See, the Great One's like, holy shit, Great One, you managed to fucking get the podcast out like more than 2 days in a row. Whoa, holy shit. Yeah, see, every once in a while I can stop fucking around playing computer games and actually do a podcast. All right, we're going to try to focus. No tangenting. I got all kinds of shit I could tell you about. We're not going to tangent. Going to pick right up where I left off, more or less. I'm going to go back a little bit to get back into the groove here. Here we go. We're on page 124. We're in the book, Countdown, How Our Modern World is Threatening Sperm Counts, Altering Male and Female Reproductive Development, which is, of course, transphobic because we all know that there's more than male and female, and imperiling the future of the human race. By the way, just real quick, though, I do want to mention this because I keep talking about how, you know, women can't write books and this stupid bitch, blah, 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 blah. We do need to take a moment to acknowledge that Shanna H. Swan, PhD, did not write this book. Okay, so Shanna H. Swan, PhD, is an award-winning scientist based at the Mount Sinai Medical Center and one of the world's leading environmental and reproductive epidemiologists. Dr. Swan has published more than 200 scientific papers and has made appearances on numerous media outlets. Her work has been featured in Bloomberg News. See, it's like the media outlets in the Bloomberg don't really matter. But no, anyway, and publications ranging from the Washington Post, A Bunch of Jews, to New Scientist. New Scientist. Is this like the new science? The science that's settled? Like, what the fuck is that? Anyway, ShaunaSwan.com is her website. But this book is quote unquote co-written by Stacy Colino. She's an award-winning writer specializing in health and environmental issues and a regular contributor to the U.S. News and World Report, Jew. Her work has appeared in the Washington Post health section, Jews, and dozens of national magazines, including Newsweek, Jew, Parade, Jew, Women's Day, Jewish Feminist, Sports Illustrated, Jewish Trannies, and Good Housekeeping, Jewish Feminist. So I suspect that most of the actual writing and the stylistic choices and the bad sentences and the attempts at humor, many of which I'm just editing out as I read this because they're really bad. I'm going to guess that most of that is Stacy. Like, Shauna just brought the data and the conclusions. I suspect Stacy did the actual writing. So while I'm ripping on how this dumb bitch shouldn't write a book, the poorness of the book itself is less Shauna, however you say her name, and more Stacy. I just feel the need, I feel the need to mention that. Page 124. It would be nice, girls. There's a lot of things in this world, girls, that would be nice. But you see, this is not how reality works. This is how women think reality works. Wouldn't it be nice if the wall was imaginary and there is no such thing, so I'll just pretend the wall isn't real? It would be nice if women could think. I agree with that. If women could think, it would be nice. Does anybody agree with that? If women could think, it would be nice. Wouldn't it be fantastic? It would be fantastic. Can you imagine a world where women were capable of thinking? I don't know if I can. The idea of women thinking is so far beyond anything I can envision. I have a pretty good imagination, but not even I can envision a world where women are capable of thinking. It would be nice to think that when a particular chemical is found to be harmful and others are substituted for it during the manufacturing process, the problem is solved. But sadly, it doesn't always work out that way. Since the chemicals that are substituted can have the same effects as the chemicals they are replacing. This is, again, falls in the category of things smart people don't need science to tell them. This pattern played out in the 1970s when DDT was thought to be a safe replacement for the pesticide lead arsenate, which was found to be a neurotoxin. When DDT was... All right, I got a tangent for a minute. You know, there's all this stuff going on. So I talked about my coworker whose wife ended up in the rubber room and all this other stuff. She had to go back to the rubber room. Okay, real long story short. You know, there's all this stuff that what we're talking about right here. And, you know, my science and my vaccine and my pandemics and my prescription medications and my chemicals and all this other stuff. If you take the evil and you set it aside, and you take maliciousness and you set it aside, and you take politics and you set it aside, and you even take stupidity and you set it aside, you still have pure human error. And all of these things are stacked against us, especially when people don't fucking think. So she was taking an antipsychotic medication. Once again, men, do not marry crazy. Do not marry women who are on medication. Do not marry women. There's no more beyond that. But if, my God, don't marry women. They're on medication for their fucking brain chemistry. So she was taking 30 milliliters a day of this antipsychotic medication. So the doctor, and I don't know, seeing this thing, I don't even know where the fuck up actually happened, but the doctor told her to alter her dosage by 10 milliliters. And what the doctor meant was to continue taking your 30 milliliters, but to take an additional 10 milliliters in the morning. The message she got was to reduce her antipsychotic medications each day from 30 milliliters to 10 milliliters. Now, who fucked up? I don't know. And it doesn't matter, because my point is, even if you take away the politics and the maliciousness and the evil and the stupidity, you still just have the fact that people can make mistakes. You know, oh, this has been proven safe. Really? You're positive that during this process by which you proved, which I've explained to you guys, science doesn't prove anything, through which you proved that this thing is safe, you're absolutely positive no honest mistakes were made. Sitting aside maliciousness, sitting aside evil, sitting aside stupidity, sitting aside politics, sitting aside profit, sitting aside diversity, sitting aside equity, sitting aside reparations for niggers, sitting aside Jewish influence, setting aside Jewish propaganda, setting all that aside, you're absolutely positive. Just nobody could have made simply a fucking mistake and not realized they made a mistake. Anytime you hear about some shit that was invented in a laboratory, has been proven safe and effective, you should not be believing this. Some of it may be safe and effective, but if you automatically disbelieve safe and effective, you will be correct 95% of the time, right? Again, it's just like you walk into a business, if you see a woman or a black person employed there, if you assume that that person is an incompetent affirmative action hire, yes, you will be wrong about 5% of the time, but you will be right 95% of the time. And that's a fact. That's a fact. You're welcome. When DDT was also found to be a neurotoxin, it was replaced with organophosphate pesticides, another class that also has neurotoxic effects that interfere with a child's brain development. I think this is in the previous episode where I went off and explained to you guys that anything that is an insecticide that kills insects is also going to have adverse effects on humans because our biology is fucking similar. And what's this guy? It's an insecticide. Of course it's going to have adverse effects on human biology. What the fuck? If you need science to tell you this, you're not smart enough to be listening to this podcast right now. Go find yourself some fucking Joe Rogan where he talks about smoking dope and everything. Dude, we smoked so much. Although the episode where he had Alex Jones on there was funny. Anyway, in my own studies, we saw this as well. During the 10 years, 2000 to 2010, between recruitment for our two large studies of pregnant women, people's exposure to DEHP, a chemical used as a plasticizer, had declined 50%, due in part to its ban in children's toys. Without question, the ban was a good thing for public health and environmental health, except that in the meantime, DEHP was replaced by chemical substitutes, including diosinine phosphate, whatever it is, DINP, which turned out to be as damaging to male reproductive development as DEHP. Once again, smart people don't need science. Well, we'll take this one chemical from the laboratory, replace it with a different chemical from the laboratory because this one is safe. How do you know that? You don't. Similarly, while PBDEs were banned in 2004, one of the chemicals used to replace them has turned out to be nearly as dangerous, which is only a surprise to stupid people. When it was released by Dow Chemical Company in 2011, polymeric FR, which is used mostly behind roofs and walls, was touted as being an example of quote, breakthrough sustainable chemistry, unquote. As opposed to things you might want to make your walls out of, like, I don't know, wood, brick, things that aren't laden with chemicals that will kill you. But no, we can't do that. Because everything needs to be chemicals. Everything needs to be manufactured by Dow Chemical Company or some other Jewish-controlled organization. But it turns out that its breakdown compounds look very much like the old flame retardants. Toxic. Right, because everything's got to be flame retardant. Because we're so terrified of fire. Once again, women are so fucking terrified of everything. They're terrified of nuclear power because they don't understand what radiation is. So we have to strip mine coal and ship it across the fucking ocean and ship it across the country and then burn it. Because we can't have nuclear power because it scares women. Right? We can't just build houses out of wood. Because wood might catch on fire, and women are scared of fire. So everything's got to be flame retardant. I mean, in the theater, you know, when we'd have flames and shit, oh my God, the women will get all, oh, we got to have fire. God, will you just relax? It's just a fucking, it's a giant fucking theater, okay? It's a little flame out there in the middle of the fucking stage. We got a fire extinguisher. We got some blank. It's fine. They do this shit all the fucking time. These people have trained. This guy who's going to go out there and he's going to do this thing that involves fire. He's done this like 200 times or more a year for the past 7 fucking years. How many goddamn theaters has he burned down? 0. And did he burn them down because the fucking drapes were flame retardant and covered in chemicals that fucking kill you when you inhale them? No. He hasn't burned down any theaters because he has testosterone and he's not a fucking retard. But women, they're so goddamn scared of everything. This is why we can't have nuclear power and houses that are made out of wood. Another example, since bisphenol S was substituted for bisphenol A in many products touted as being BPA-free. Remember, guys, there is no safe plastic. I keep telling you that, but this is BPA-free. I just want to slap the fuck out of people. Guys, there is no plastic that does not shed fucking chemicals. None of them are safe. I understand you can't. I'm not saying you can get away from. I store my emergency water in plastic fucking bottles. You're not going to get away from plastic. All right. Just don't fucking sit there and lie to yourself like a goddamn woman that the plastic you're using doesn't shed chemicals into the stuff you store in it because it has the letters BPA free stenciled on the bottom. It has become apparent that these products may also interfere with endocrine function in ways that could promote premature puberty, obesity, and damage to a woman's eggs. I'm sure you get the picture. The trouble is, there is nothing to stop regrettable substitution, a practice in which manufacturers replace harmful chemicals with another chemical that may turn out to not be a safe alternative. The switcheroo can happen when industries respond to public outcry, otherwise known as women reposting things on Facebook. Again, women, oh my God, we got to ban this chemical, ban this chemical, ban this chemical. So the company just bans the chemical and they just create a new chemical that's almost exactly the same. You just have to change one little thing and it's a different chemical. And now you can now go out there and say, oh, we banned this chemical and we've replaced it with something else. And women, because they fucking love science and they believe in astrology, will think that you've actually done something. Industries respond to public outcry or regulatory pressures about a chemical's potential health effects by replacing one chemical that has been identified as harmful with a new one the public assumes, otherwise known as stupid people, assume is safe. But that doesn't always turn out to be true. No shit. Page 129. What are we reading about now? The long reach of exposures, reproductive ripple effects. That is the name of this chapter. Let me get my bearing here. Okay, skip first paragraph because it's fluff. And on to page 131. Let's start with guys. No, we don't want to start with guys. We want to start with girls, preferably hot redheads. Let's start with guys. One thing many people don't realize is that compromised reproductive health, including low sperm concentrations and low testosterone levels, is associated with decreased overall health in men. So again, we all knew this. Low testosterone levels correlate with shitty health. We all knew this. In a 2016 study of some 13,000 men who'd been diagnosed with male factor infertility, I don't know what exactly male factor infertility is. I know what male infertility is. Researchers found that men with low sperm concentrations had a 30% increased risk of developing diabetes. Amazing how much in our society just comes back to diabetes. And a 48% increased risk of developing ischemic heart disease. I don't know exactly what ischemic heart disease is, but I know what hearts are and I know what disease is. The heart is the thing in my chest. The disease is called Jews. Compared to men without the infertility diagnosis. Male infertility, including low sperm concentration, is also associated with an increased cancer risk, particularly testicular cancer and high-grade prostate cancer. Oh, I didn't know prostate cancer came in grades. Is that like oil? You have high-grade and low-grade? Well, wait, which cancer is better? Is high-grade cancer better or is it low-grade? Because a high-grade cancer, is that like more faluting? You know, more like cultured? Does it do like tea, like the British do in a little teacup? Or what's up with that? Men with sperm concentrations below 15 million per milliliter had a 50% greater risk of being hospitalized for any medical reason than those with sperm concentrations above 40 million per milliliter, according to one 2017 study. Given these elevated risks, it's not surprising that men with infertility can expect to die earlier than their more fertile peers. In a 2014 study, researchers from Stanford University followed the health of 12,000 men who were evaluated for infertility and found that those with impaired sperm counts, sperm motility, or semen volume, any of which qualify as male factor infertility, had higher mortality rates during the subsequent decade than those with normal semen quality. Men with two or more abnormal semen parameters, which the researchers considered, quote, severely impaired semen, had a 2.3-fold higher risk of dying in the 10-year follow-up than those with normal semen quality. The exact mechanisms behind these links aren't known, but there are theories about what could be going on. One suggests that defects in DNA repair mechanisms impair cellular division processes in ways that affect sperm production and increase the likelihood of cancer developing. Makes sense. Another theory points to a hormonal explanation, namely that men with infertility have lower circulating testosterone levels than fertile men do. Low testosterone levels in men can increase the risk of developing cardiovascular disease and set the stage for muscle loss, increasing abdominal fat, weakening bones, erectile dysfunction, and memory, mood, and energy problems, circumstances that many men desperately want to avoid. It also makes sense. Researchers also hypothesize that in utero disruptions in genetic programming can impair not only genital development, but also affect the men's health later in life. It's a tangled web of contributing factors indeed. And once again, as I keep telling you, it's not always just one thing, especially with something like this. right? It's not just the Jews. It's not just the women. It's not just the niggers. It's all three. And then, of course, you throw in the state. The same thing. It's not. It's a whole slew of different things. Whether it's called a sixth vital sign or a fundamental biomarker, this much is clear. A man's semen quality can tell him something about his future health risk. See, now I want to get my semen checked out to find out. I actually should look into that sperm count. Wonder where I can get a sperm count done. Hang on, I'm writing stuff down here. I'm serious. I'm really serious about this. I want to get a sperm count done. All right. On the upside, men with higher quality semen have a longer life expectancy and a decreased incidence of a wide range of diseases compared to their peers with infertility, according to a study of 40,000 Danish men who were followed for up to 40 years. See, 40,000 men over 40 years, that's a pretty good data set. I'm not saying it could still be wrong. Somebody could have made a mistake. But that's a pretty good data set. 40,000 men over 40 years? See, I can believe that. When you come to me and you say the Wuhan vax is safe and effective and it's only existed for 6 months, right? See, that's the kind of data set that I can't buy that. When you've got a vaccine that's been tested for 40 years, okay, now you can come to me with a data set that I'm willing to look at and take seriously. Simply put, having an abundant sperm supply is associated with better health for men. Virility on multiple fronts. All right, so the next bit is about women, but it tells me I am not supposed to read that. So I am now supposed to go forward to 143. Because, guys, we've talked about women enough, haven't we? Do we really need to hear more? Guys, did you know that women's eggs go bad? Do we really need to hear more about how chemicals affect women's eggs and kill them off and they become infertile? Have we not beat that dead horse to death? All right, page 143. What am I supposed to read here? My notes kind of suck. This chapter is entitled Imperiling the Planet. It's not just about humans. No, it's also about Jews. Okay. I'm going to start reading and assume this is what I'm supposed to be reading. In the North Pacific Ocean lies an enormous... Oh, yes! Okay, I already know why I marked this. In the North Pacific Ocean lies an enormous trash vortex, a convergence of more than 87,000 tons of floating debris, including plastic particles, chemical sludge, and other fragments of litter. This massive detritus, I can never say that word. This massive garbage has come to be known as the Great Pacific Garbage Patch. Rather than being a discrete mass like an island, this swirling maelstrom of refuse is more like a diffusing galaxy of garbage that has grown to be about twice the size of Texas. Now, I've not fact-checked this about the size. That seems pretty fucking big to me. Maybe it really is that big. Maybe it isn't. But it is out there. There is a whole bunch of trash floating around on the ocean. Some of you already know where I'm going to go with this. It poses a danger to wildlife, since the debris often end up in creatures' stomachs or wrapped around their necks. Of the 1.5 million albatrosses that inhabit Midway Atoll near the garbage patch, the vast majority have plastic particles in their digestive systems, and approximately one-third of their chicks die. The floating debris absorbs organic pollutants in the seawater. Then fish and other marine life consume these toxin-containing pieces of plastic. When humans eat these fish, we ingest microparticles of these toxic chemicals, another harmful trickle-down effect in our ecosystem. And as I have said before, we are now going to beat the dead horse. As soon as I write down a note, because I want to check out, I want to see if I can find information on this Pacific garbage patch. As I have said before, my friends, the point of global warming is to distract people, women and stupid people, from actual problems. Nobody can see global warming. Nobody can measure global warming. There is no fucking global warming. Is there a whole bunch of trash floating around out in the ocean? You bet your fucking ass there is. You can see it. You can take pictures of it. You can measure it. You can touch it. We could pick it up. We could. We could pick it the fuck up. But no. Wait, see, what we've done instead of picking that up is we've put water into plastic bottles and sold the plastic bottles of water to women so that women can drink the water and then take the plastic bottle and put it into a bin that is painted blue and has a recycling symbol on it so that those women can feel good about themselves. Because we don't want to do anything to actually save the earth. The real focus is white women from North America feeling good. If all the money that was spent on global warming bullshit, and I don't know what that number is, but if we took all that money and we gave it to the Great One, I bet you the Great One could get the fucking giant pile of trash out of the fucking ocean. But we're not going to do that because women can't see the trash in the ocean. See, women can see global warming. They very clearly see global warming, just like they see your astrology sign. That shit to them is real, because they fucking love science. Giant pile of trash in the ocean? Ain't nobody got time for that. There's a shoe sale on. Don't you know Game of Thrones season 74 is on Netflix tonight? I gotta go home and binge watch that while I eat a tub of ice cream. And then I'll throw the empty ice cream tub into my recycle bin, and 3 years from now, it'll be floating around out there in the ocean. Page 145. Oh, yes. More things that we can measure. Unfortunately, these ubiquitous environmental chemicals have taken a toll on the animal kingdom in many different ways. A recent study found that 88% of biopsies from bottlenose dolphins from the northern Adriatic Sea had PCB concentrations above the toxicity threshold for physiological effects in marine mammals, and 66% had concentrations above the threshold for reproductive impairment. But of course, women care about the dolphins because the dolphins are cute. Right up into the fact that women would have to reduce their use of plastic in order to save the dolphins, because women ain't got time for that. Women love plastic, because women are plastic. Oh my God, I got a tangent for a minute. I got it because I said that. So I told you guys I'm getting back into photography, right? So I'm on the hunt for models, because to take pictures of cute girls, you need girls that are cute. And while there are some cute girls in Rapid City, I've seen them. There's some hotties. There's not that many. I'm looking on the, and I'm doing multiple avenues to find models. One of the avenues I'm using is scraping the internet. My God, it's every time I start to think, you know, maybe not all women are completely fucking insane. I'm on Facebook and I'm looking on Facebook for chicks who have announced on Facebook that they do modeling, right? And I'm not even friends with them, so I only see what they've made public. And I'm looking at just the stuff. I'm gonna give you, but it's like, I'm like, my God, these women are nuts with the abortion and the politics. And again, oh, Rapid City is conservative. No, it's not. Well, I mean, no women are conservative. So maybe that doesn't really, all right, that's kind of a non sequitur because there are no conservative women. But I mean, my God, I just look. Like I said, I'm not going to do details, but I'm looking at these chicks. I'm looking at chicks on Facebook and reading what they've posted for the entire world to see. And they're insane. They're so fucking fake and shallow and vapid. Is vapid a word? I think it's a word. I'm not even sure what that word means, but it sounds great. I should look that up. Let me write that down on my notes. Vapid. I should find out if that word means what I think it means. If it doesn't, you know what I mean. They're fucking dumb and gullible. My God, they're so gullible. I know. All of you knew that. I don't know why I'm saying this to my audience. Hey, guys, did you know women are gullible? Meanwhile, exposure to organochloric pesticides, PCBs, and brominated flame retardants had an adverse impact on the reproductive function of Baltic gray seals, including a high incidence of uterine fibroids in females, and led to a marked decline in their population. Male polar bears in East Greenland with high fat tissue concentrations of persistent organic pollutants, including organochloride pesticides and PCBs, were found to have reduced testosterone levels, unusually short penises, and smaller than normal testicles. And we just talked about the effect of reduced testosterone in human males. What do you think reduced testosterone does in bears? Same fucking thing. Humans or mammals? Bears or mammals? Our systems pretty much work the same fucking way. Women, oh, they care about the polar bears because global warming is wiping out the polar bears. Are you sure it's global warming that's wiping out the polar bears and not the infertility from all the goddamn chemicals? See, this is my point. The global warming is there to distract the stupid people and the women from what's actually going on. Once again, the chemical levels, you can measure the PCBs in the bear. You can measure the bear's penis size. You can measure the bear's sperm count. These things can be measured. Multiple people can measure them and they can be verified. Global warming cannot be measured, cannot be verified. This is why the Jews created global warming, to distract the stupid people from what's really going on. And all these women on Facebook, they all believe in global warming. They're all going to save the earth. Oh my God. And the chicks wearing their NASA t-shirts. The NASA t-shirts. If you don't work for NASA, don't wear a fucking shirt that says NASA on it. Okay? It's just like when I see people wearing military attire. You know, pieces of military uniform. Were you in the military? No? Then take that shit off. When I wear my fucking field jacket from when I was in the military, that's my fucking name on that field jacket. Those scuffs on the field jacket, that's where I was crawling through the goddamn dirt. That patch on the fucking shoulder, that's the unit I fucking served in. I earned that. I can wear that. Fucking women, I wear NASA t-shirts. The bitch is a goddamn fucking waitress at a goddamn restaurant wearing a fucking NASA t-shirt. I'm like, bitch, I will climb up and slap the fuck out of you. I'm gonna pull up on you like Eric Juneteenth. There's even a disorder called imposex, which causes female sea snails, to develop male sex organs, such as a penis. But remember, guys, the frogs are not turning gay. The female snails are growing penises, but the frogs are not turning gay. You see, Alex Jones, he's just a right-wing wacko conspiracy theorist. The snails are transitioning from female to male because of the fucking toxic pollutants. The frogs are not turning gay. The cause? Exposure to certain marine pollutants, particularly tributyltine, TBT, a highly toxic chemical that has been used extensively to prevent the growth of marine organisms on the hulls of large ships. So let me see if I got this right. If you have a ship and it's in the water and marine organisms are trying to grow on the hull of the ship, so you put a toxic chemical on the hull of the ship to kill the marine organisms that are trying to grow on the hull of the ship, you don't think that toxic chemical that you're putting on the hull of the ship under the water might get into the water? Like, what kind of level of retarded do you have to be to not see where this is going to go? And you know, let's talk about me for a minute. How do you think I feel about what's been going on? It's a great song by the Alan Parsons Project. If you don't know that song, you should get that album. It's called Vulture Culture. The first five songs are fantastic. The last three songs, not so much. But let's talk about me. That is one of the first song on there. It's a wonderful, wonderful song. Way back in the day, Young Great One, when he was in high school and after high school, Young Great One was an environmentalist. And this is why I was an environmentalist. Things like the garbage in the ocean and the fucking animals changing gender and all that, which, yes, was happening even back then. The animals were getting poisoned even back then. Some of you are going, Great One, when you were young, fire didn't even exist yet. Fuck you. Okay? It did. And then the reason I became not an environmentalist, I've told the long version of the story, it was primarily because of global warming. Because I'm literally going, this shit is fake. And everybody is even, you know, so I mean, 30 fucking years ago, I saw what was going on. The real problems, the real pollutions was being ignored. And everybody's going, oh, look at global warming, my global warming. And all the environmentalists, like Greenpeace used to be, back in the day, Greenpeace was all about stopping, like, quote, visible pollution. Right? I mean, things you can see, like the garbage in the ocean, visible pollution, and stopping people from clubbing the little baby seals. And I was completely on board with that shit. And then all of a sudden, it's global warming. And fuck the seals, and we don't care about the visible pollution anymore because we got to save the earth from carbon dioxide because everything's going to catch on fire and we're all going to burn up. And that's when I stopped being an environmentalist. This is the kind of shit we actually should be concerned about and doing something about. Once again, we will not, because number one, all of this shit, all of this chemical shit, all of this, just everything that contributes to these chemicals being dumped into the environment is making money for the corporations. Corporations are not capitalism. Just, I reemphasize that. I know my regular listeners don't need me to explain this to you, but maybe there's somebody new who has showed up. Corporations have nothing to do with capitalism. The corporations are making bank, and women are avoiding discomfort. And until those things can be solved, we're not going to get rid of this shit. All right, let's get back to the book here. That was tangenting. The point is, the effects of the chemicals we have unleashed into the world are vast and far-reaching, endangering the reproductive health of numerous species and possibly their very survival. Unlike global warming, which is not endangering any species because it doesn't fucking exist. Let me glance at this real quick. I got to figure out how much further I need to read. Page 146, second full paragraph. Okay. Case in point, a series of studies, University of California, Berkeley, developmental endocrinologist Tyrone Haynes, PhD, investigated the effects of atrazine, a herbicide that's used primarily on corn, soybeans, and other crops in the Midwest and around the world, on the sexual development of wild leopard frogs. And, you know, all the pesticides to grow all the fucking grains and shit. You know, once again, see, here you go. This is the kind of thing. The solution is so fucking obvious. But it's never going to happen because there's too much money involved. So we're dumping pesticides all over all these fucking crops, right? Now the pesticides, they don't just fall on the crop and kill the insect and then fucking vanish into some kind of fucking black hole or something, never to be seen again. Those pesticides, they're in the environment now forever. I know I don't need to explain this to you, but we got to go through the whole process. We could eliminate all these pesticides. They could be completely eliminated. Because you take all those crop fields and you stop planting crops and you let grass grow. Then you put cows out in the field with the grass. The grass just grows because that's what grass does. If some insects eat the grass, it doesn't fucking matter. The cows eat the grass. The cows get big. You kill the cow. You eat the meat. There's no pesticides involved. No more pesticides released into the environment. But you see, women want to be vegetarians because they care about animals, because the animals are cute. And the agricultural corporations need to make a profit. And so we can't do that. We can't just let the environment be what it naturally wants to be and let some cows eat the grass and then eat the cows. We can't do that. We have to go out there and plow the soil and plant the shit and spray the chemicals all over it and try to force the environment, literally Hitler, force the environment to be something it doesn't naturally want to be. A giant fucking field where only one plant is growing. That is not something you will find in nature. This is the most unnatural fucking thing ever. Go out into nature and find me a place where there's only one plant growing and no other plants, and none of the plants have any insects on them. And yet we spend trillions and trillions and gazillions of trillions of dollars to try to force the environment to be the most unnatural fucking thing the environment can be. And we do it by dumping chemicals on everything. And then everybody, global warming. Global warming is the fucking problem. sexual development of wild leopard frogs. He found that exposure to atrazine had a feminizing effect on male frogs. A feminizing effect on male frogs. Why, it's almost as if the frogs are turning gay. I literally, Hitler, want to kill. Anyone who believes in global warming should fucking die. He found that exposure to atrazine had a feminizing effect on male frogs, leading to gonad abnormalities, such as the presence of eggs in their testicles and testosterone levels that are normal, that are lower, testosterone levels that are lower than normal female frogs. I read that sentence poorly. Let me do that one more time. Presence of eggs in their testicles and testosterone levels that are lower than in normal female frogs. Toads have been found to have similarly dysfunctional reproductive responses to various EDCs. Given these reproductive abnormalities, is it any wonder that frogs and toads are undergoing a population decline throughout the world? And this is what's coming for humans, is a population decline throughout the world. And of course, the environmentalist wackos, the ones that have been propagandized by the Jews and the global warming, are going to be, oh, this is such a great thing. The population is going down. Oh, we're going to save the planet. Eventually we will, because we'll save the planet by wiping ourselves out totally. But even then, all the fucking plastic bottles that have been thrown into the recycling bins by all of these fucking white women from North America because they wanted to feel good about themselves and save the earth. Those plastic bottles, those things are going to leach chemicals into the environment until the end.